Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said. What I'd ask you to do is keep an open mind. This way you can see where you can find common ground, relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, I'd like to welcome back Jeff Ferranini. Jeff, from a very early age, has been on a quest to find a house of worship that welcomes all faith traditions, spiritual perspectives equally. He's an ordained interfaith minister, and he is a poet, having written over 100 poems in the last 15 years, most of which are spiritual. He has self-published 2 books of poems. Second book, Star Songs, is now on CD and contains 31 poems. Jeff has written feature articles on spirituality for 1111 magazine and Body and Brain. He's on the Council for Spiritual Connection, an interfaith organization which produces annual events showcasing musical spoken presentations to celebrate diversity, interconnection, and sharing spiritual traditions. And so I'd like to welcome Jeff. Jeff, how are you?
Good, good. Can we also mention that I'm the host and producer for planetary-spirit.com, where I've got 200 interviews archived.
I left that out since the show's not going anymore, unless you've started it up again.
Well, I do still have the website, and so those shows are available for listeners to tune into.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us what the program is about and what the website is?
Okay, so similar to you, it's one-on-one interviews with people either in studio or on the phone, exploring the areas and aspects of our inner world or the spiritual world through thought leaders that have written books, created films, or made CDs that we discuss, and to talk about their journey into what brought them in their lives to want to explore spirituality and devote their lives to it. And the website is, as I said before, www.planetary-spirit.com, where I have around 200-plus interviews archived on the website.
Thanks, Jeff. Well, Jeff, you produced for, over 2.5 years?
Little more than 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah. Boy, I was way off.
I was 3 years at Emerson College. So I was through ETIN, Emerson Talk and Information Network, through their internet radio broadcasting studio, and, yes. You know, been other places as well.
Well, Jeff had a roster of very impressive guests. It was a very spiritual program, which I did not have the pleasure of listening to. But Jeff, like me, being on the internet, was not able to find a way to sustain a living at doing that, which is one of the drawbacks of internet radio for most hosts. And so it really is, for me, it's a matter of love of doing the show and hope that my voice will be heard somewhere. picked up. And Jeff, I wish you the best with your poetry. I think that you're in some good hands, and that your poems are going to get to be known. But for the time being, let's expose listeners to some of your poetry, and I wonder which one you'd like to start off reading. I'd like to have you read at least three or four tonight instead of two.
Okay.
So keep that in mind.
Well, I'm going to actually go to the one that you said somebody else was interested in and enjoyed, appreciated. And for whatever reason, I said to you, I didn't think was in my book, and I was mistaken. There it is.
There you go.
This is a poem entitled, What is Love? What is love? Raise your vibration through the breath, through the breathing. Close your eyes. Open wide your heart. Feel limitless love all around. Breathe in pure white light. Feel higher vibrations of love. Open to new ways of seeing, new ways of being. Love is not just an emotion. Love is the unmistakable presence of God. A wordless communication of vibration, lifting our awareness to our truest essence, removing all barriers of separation. God, our greater self, and I are one. One divine dance of celebration, where you and I exist as one. Where every living being is one. One mind, one heart, one spirit, no separation, one. The all of all that is one.
Well, that sounds like that would be a good starting point for discussion. For a lot of people, more and more people are coming to embrace that. And of course, when I was a kid, I remember reading a book called One God, which all the monotheistic religions embrace. And then, of course, there are other religions that are polytheistic, meaning many, believing in many different gods. And what I liked about your biography was that you welcome all faith traditions and spiritual perspectives, and that aligns with my belief that all religions that serve the soul are valid pathways to God, and that we should not judge them or try to dissuade people from following the path that they have been on just because we think we know a better way. But this idea that there is just one mind, one heart, one spirit, and no separation, what exactly are you trying to say that might help illuminate other people that can't quite grasp that concept?
Well, it seems to me that if you look at the state of the world, if you look at all the conflicts worldwide that are taking place, a lot of them underlying reasons for why these conflicts are ongoing has to do with religious differences in perspectives. And so what I'm saying is that if we simply start to get in touch with the essence of where all these religious teachings have sprung from, if you talk about, you know, where did Jesus go when he started to become aware that he was something much more than just a carpenter. If you look at Buddha and you see where did Buddha come up with this idea that he was an awakened human being and no longer asleep, when you go to the essence of Muhammad, when he went in the cave and was visited by the angel and given these writings to disseminate to other people, and you just keep going on and on and on and on to the essence, you know, going back to Moses when he was at the burning bush, each one of them had a profound, powerful experience with something that could not be put in a box, could not be categorized, and, you know, just was an overwhelming knowledge of knowing that there was something deep that meant, that was meant to be not only appreciated, but felt and respected in a way that would bring people together and not separate people. And I think when you look at the essence of all religions and all beauty in this world, it comes down to one word, and that word, in my opinion, is the word love. And when we really boil love down to its purest essence, we do not have a word, we have a feeling. And when you are in a state of religious ecstasy, you know, that is a state of bliss and of something that is not in the realm of normality. And I believe that when we really see the one light that burns in each one of us, when we brush away all the darkness that all our experiences once maybe past the age of one or two that have kind of darkened our soul, you know, layer by layer by layer, when all of that is swept aside, this one brilliant burning light is all that we see. And that says that at absolute essence in each one of us, there is a oneness. There is a light, an eternal light that is looking only for our recognition. So when we get caught up in labels of, you know, you have to turn towards this direction in order to acknowledge the presence of the deity, or you have to observe this law or that law in order to pay homage to this energy, it's just a matter of semantics. It's a matter of words and customs. And that's what's keeping us apart, and that's what's causing brother to kill brother, because there's a difference of opinion. There's a difference of perspective. At essence, each and every world religion is talking about the exact same energy, which is the energy of love and the energy that's contained in that one light.
Would you agree that labels are a form of attachments and that they're very limiting? And you spoke of them with regard to religious beliefs, perhaps to religious dogma, but there's so many ways that we can limit ourselves by identifying with something that's very small, that does not have to do with the core of who we are.
Right. Well, I think words are really a way for us to get mired in duality. Dark, light, big, small, you know, right, wrong. Whereas when we go beyond words and we go into the pure essence of who each one of us is, if we approached each other with the respect of knowing that standing there before me is either a god or a goddess, there is the essence of divinity that is there, whether my human eyes see it or not, really doesn't matter, because my soul knows that I, by myself, am an eternal being, as you said, spiritual beings having a human experience. So whether it's male or female, old or young, rich or poor, there is a divine spark that, as I look at the other, there is a part of me that recognizes that and knows that that is my brother, that is my sister. If we were to be trained in school in that manner of respecting one another for whomever and however we are shaped into this world to be, I think the world would be a very different place. And words would be respected so much more, so that when they came out of our mouths, we wouldn't use them to harm one another. We would use them to embrace one another.
I've heard it said that every word is a prayer, or can be a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're leading a spiritual life, and we are aligned with love, as you've talked so eloquently about in this poem, then we're going to choose words that speak from our souls, our spirits, our hearts, and that lead us on a spiritual path where, in essence, we are praying, we are beholding, we are indeed one. I'd like to talk about some of the things that you just brought up. The question of duality, or the essence of duality, has always intrigued me ever since I understood what that meant. Now, you talked about right and wrong, and that's something that's always intrigued me. Today, I believe that to label something as right or wrong is simply a form of judgment. But how can right or wrong be helpful to us in terms of leading upright lives, if you will?
Well, I think each one of us needs some kind of, foundation in order to be able to build on. We need to know as young children that, a hot stove is not something to want to jump on. The parents might say, bad or wrong or something like that, to bring to our attention that there's something there that can harm you. Mm. And in that way, we get a sense of, what to go toward and what to stay away from. Now, as we become more, aware of the world, there's a discernment process that takes place. And what we generally don't do, because we're not taught this, is we don't learn to discern for ourselves what we were taught as children and what we feel into as being correct behavior for us now to adapt to in the new situations that are coming towards us and asking for our further discernment. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I do, and I am of the belief that discernment is a gift. That it's a spiritual gift that one needs to ask for, because so many of us are caught up within our egos, where we are in a state of judgment, where we can become involved in conflict, where we look at contrast as not necessarily a wonderful or delicious experience. And I wanted to back up to the darkness that you talked about earlier and talk about how the darkness can actually be a gift to us as human beings. What would you say about that?
Well, I would say that there's a quote in the Bible somewhere, something about that which, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this right, something like that which will, I'm not thinking of the quote well, but anyway, it's the energy of the shadow. Carl Gustav Jung, Freud's disciple, talked about the super unconscious. He's the one that actually came upon that discovery of that concept of that we're all sort of connected through this energy of the super unconscious, and that's again where the energy of archetypes comes out, which is ancient symbols that, whether consciously or subconsciously, we're all in awareness of. And my sense is that darkness, along with shadow, I just took took part in a small presentation. It was about 2 hours, where people were doing something called shadow work, and I was really quite touched by how powerful emotional connections were made in those 2 hours. There were a couple of people in our very small group that were in tears because of what was being stirred in them that was not coming at them from a head-oriented point of view, as in psychotherapy or something like that. It was sort of coming in the side door. And because of that, you didn't really have a good way of defending against what was coming up for you. And so these emotions were spilling out, these memories were being brought into the light, and it was really quite emotionally moving to see that. Now, Robert Bly wrote a book about the shadow, and he's a well-known poet who also really started the revival of the men's group here in the Western United States back in like the 70s and 80s. And he wrote a book about the shadow, and he also said that once you have come into awareness of the shadow and these things that you have kind of put in this bag that you're carrying over your back and that's been weighing you down for a long, long, long time in your life, when you have the courage to open that bag and to start confronting these energies and starting to see them as they are, then instead of being these powerful and horrible entities, you're going to actually see how they've been controlling you unconsciously these many years, and that once you either embrace them or extinguish them or transform them, you will be freeing up so much energy that you've been utilizing to try and repress them. So this is a great, wonderful way of tapping into this energetic resource that you've been battling for most of your life and now can use as a rocket pack to kind of get you places and energize your life in whole new ways.
Well, it's my impression that whenever I'm battling something, it's like trying to lock horns with the devil.
Right, and right.
Very much another ego-driven state whereby I cannot prevail if I am struggling or fighting. I need to surrender. And getting back, taking the idea of shadow a bit further, I'd like to talk about the duality of good and evil and then to come full circle back to love.
Well, David, could I just stop you there? Because there's a poem that I have in my book that I think speaks very nicely towards exactly this. So could I share that with you now?
Absolutely. What's it called, Jeff?
This is called Wrestling the Night Wind.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. Wrestling the Night Wind. Tonight, the shrill cries of the lonely wind flutter the chambers of my heart. Time is passing like a well-appointed parade, her dwindling echoes moving farther away. Her howling, gusty moans, an army of Bowery bums rustling through dumpsters, containing discarded pieces from my past. It is the future which looms ahead uncertain, like a fog-bound stretch of road. I feel an urgency to reach out, take hold of, find a handhold to grasp tightly, earn my blessing, like Jacob in the desert wrestled the angel, holding tight until dawn, demanded a blessing, was given a new name, Israel, one who wrestles with God. In the desert that night when his new life began.
Nice. Well, I don't know if I want to dwell on it very long, but a lot of people in different religious traditions, faith practices, focus on good and evil.
Sure.
And I wondered if you could speak a little bit to that and how we can release ourselves from anything that we might perceive to be bad or evil.
Well, I think when you look at how can I control someone, most people, I would say pretty much every human being, either has one of two buttons. You know, one is on, the other is off, or one is hot, the other is cold. And really, it's a choice between do I go toward love or do I step away or move away from fear? And again, David, we're going back to this notion of duality. So if a religion wants you to do something, they're going to encourage you to embrace the energy of love. If they, on the other hand, want you not to do something, they're going to either instill in you the energy of shame, the energy of guilt, or the energy of fear. And anytime somebody tells you that there are rules to be followed in whatever religion you name, they're going to kind of use both those carrot and stick energies to get you to move in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that each religion has, in their own way, incorporated the lessons of moving towards love or moving from fear by controlling the people who are abiding by the teachings that they're putting forth.
Do you think that's a good thing?
Well, you know, again, I kind of get back to that story, you know, maybe good, maybe bad. Wait, and let's see.
I'm of the belief that it's all good and that what I've judged as being evil, shameful, fearful in my past has all served a greater purpose in bringing me to my today, and that it's been a matter of letting go of whatever is shameful or toxic or judgmental, if you will, that has propelled me toward the light and away from things that have caused me fear. And as the eloquent mystic, the Jesuit Anthony de Mello said, there, and you spoke of this yourself, there are only two states. There's fear and there's love or there's spirit. And I find that this is my personal opinion or belief, if you will, and I'm interested in what you have to say, but anything that instills fear in me is not of truth. It is controlling, and I think most people do not like controlled. If I stay in a place of love, if I stay true to myself, then I don't need to be controlled by anybody else. I'm allowing myself and opening myself to God essence, and that's the only thing that I want to control me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, but you also have to look at, we see ourselves as a modern civilization. We see ourselves right now as being at the pinnacle of human consciousness and of anyone who's ever walked the face of the earth. This civilization that is on the earth right now is at the absolute highest point than any consciousness that has ever been on this planet. Now, I don't personally agree with that, but what I will say is that technologically, I think we're at a very high place than we've been in the last 100, 200, 2,000 years.
Yes.
But sociologically, I honestly don't feel in human interaction we have really ever left the caves.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so when you're talking about you know, the ability of a religious institution organization to be able to control people through fear or through love, you know, utilization of either one of those energies, it's really not that difficult to do that, especially if the church or the temple or the mosque is seen by the individual as an adult as really the parent, as really the one who is telling you what is right, what is wrong, and these are the rules to follow. If you are in obedience to that parental authority and believe what that parental authority or religious institution is telling you is absolute truth, then they have complete control over you, and you have abdicated your ability to think for yourself.
Well, let's talk a little bit about co-creation. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that's a very, very important concept that we have lost sight of. I think it's very empowering to know that, first of all, that we are answering in the affirmative the question that Albert Einstein, the famous physicist who helped with the creation of the atomic bomb and atomic energy, as well as the formula E equals MC squared, he said the most important question every human being has to ask themselves is, do I live in a friendly universe? And if you answer yes to that, then similar to what you said earlier, David, you have to realize that no matter what comes on your path, whether it appears to be bad or it appears to be good, it is all there helping you to grow into a stronger, more aware human being and moving you into a greater awareness of your divinity. And so as we embrace the energy of being co-creators with the Creator, we are saying, in essence, I am able to stand toe-to-toe and eye-to-eye with that which made me, and I am now able and willing to embrace my divinity. I see myself no longer as contained in but the human essence. I see myself as an eternal being and a limitless being, and I am pure energy. And what is the essence of the Creator other than that exact same energy?
And does that give us the power to create our own reality?
Well, I mean, now you're getting into the energy of intention and the energy of mind energy. And, you know, are we the captains of our own fate, the captains of our own ship? Do we steer our course, or does something greater than us hold its hands or hold sway on the way that, you know, that boat is navigating the stormy seas of life? And that all depends on your perspective. But my belief is that, at essence, we are limitless, eternal beings that when we awaken to that fact, and when we choose to embrace that fact, then we can literally do anything that we want to do or we choose to do. And if Einstein's question that he asked is, do you live in a friendly universe? If we truly believe that we live in a friendly universe, then no matter how adverse the circumstances are that we find ourselves in, there is a way to either overcome those or get around them or turn them into a greater gift and blessing than we even thought possible. It's,
well,
where are we looking? Are we looking for a way out, or are we looking for the highest and greatest good for all concerned that we are able to have and can rise to embrace, in any situation that we're being confronted by?
Well, I like your use of the word the highest good, because I believe that if I am leading a spiritual life, and shaping my own destiny that I must necessarily be concerned with my fellow brothers and sisters. And it's not to say that I can't have my own desires, but I want to align with the energy of the universe and do what is and put forth what serves the greatest good for not just myself, but for all.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to make a comment earlier and I lost the thread, but I just wanted to comment on your first poem. And your poems in general are very meditative in nature. And I closed my eyes when you were reading What is Love? And I just went with that energy. And it was beautiful. And I think the word vibration is very significant.
Mm.
The first I heard that was, it was used by a therapist that was a former nun who was very much taken with the teachings of Abraham through Esther Hicks,
which
talked about living in a vibrational universe. And I've come to see that I can raise my own vibrations through the power of positive energy, choosing positive emotions rather than negative emotions, positive attitudes rather than negative attitudes. And in so doing, I tend to attract more of the same into my life. So I wondered if you could speak a little bit about vibration.
Yeah, I think really what you're stating is something that I learned from different sources. There's a woman by the name of Frances Scoville Shin, who wrote a book called The Game of Life. It's actually a very short book. I think it's only 120 pages. And in that, she talks over and over and over again about the power of affirmative prayer and also the power of affirmations. She talks about speaking the word. And, you know, affirmations are phrases that are put in a present tense that, so let's say you're somebody who is being challenged right now by a health concern. So instead of embracing what is in front of you at the present moment, what Florence Scoville Shin would say is, I want you to embrace the vibrational energy of not what you don't want. So let's not be negative. Let's embrace the positive. I want you to speak about and speak the word about what you do want. So what she would say is, I now have perfect health in every part of my body. And she would, you know, expound on that. And that is kind of getting back to similar to what I believe you're saying, is that we live in a vibrational universe. We live in a world of vibration. Colors are actually vibrations. Sounds are vibrations. Temperature is vibration. All of these different things, actually the molecular structure of solid material items are all held together with a various different kinds of vibrational frequencies. So what she was saying, Florence Scoville Shin was saying, is that if you keep holding to a positive vibration, there is no other outcome possible other than a new positive vibration coming into manifestation, because you are changing the physical properties of the world around you through speaking the word.
Well, a lot of people may not be familiar with affirmative prayer. And that statement about being in perfect health to me is an example of affirmative prayer.
Right.
Would you be willing to offer an affirmative prayer with regard to world peace?
Oh, okay, sure. I see our planet beautifully aligned with all hearts connected, joined in a loving embrace right now. In this present moment, world leaders come forward to see one another, not as heads of state, but as people, not as perspectives, but as part of the human race. I see all individuals of different races, of different colors, of different genders, of different nationalities. Colorblind, genderblind, without judgment, seeing only the light within each one of their hearts. And I am richly blessed with the awareness and understanding that peace is here on our planet at this time and is held strongly and securely in all the hearts of all the people, of all the men, women, children, animals, plants, rocks, elements that are vibrating with the purity of the one love in this one moment. Amen.
Amen. Now, it's interesting, in that prayer, it was mostly affirmative, but you used some denials too when you used the words not or but. What purpose do denials serve in terms of bringing us to an affirmative place?
Well, denials actually are what helps to release all the negativities that perhaps are stored and to, you know, depending on where we are in the path, we may have to do some sweeping out of the room before we can start to bring in fresh and clean energy into the room. So generally before you clean a floor, you sweep the room first, then you bring in the warm, sudsy, soapy water, and then start swabbing the decks or, mopping areas for more dirt and dust to be taken out. And then once that's been done, you can then open up the shades and blinds and let the light in, which has always been outside the room but was being kept from being seen because it certainly wouldn't reflect on the dull and dirty floor, but it will shine forth now on the freshly clean floor.
Beautiful. I'd like to invite any listeners who would like to speak with Jeff or myself to press 1, and then you can do so. And if you're not comfortable doing that, please continue to enjoy listening. Jeff, what other poem would you like to read for us tonight?
I'd like to read a poem that has spoken to me in the, it's not an easy poem, but it's one of my favorite poems. It's called Ascent. Ascent. I keep my heart open to impossible beauty. Something in flight, lifting on airless wings towards a greater union to unfold all that I am, far beyond this mortal plane, reaching further than stars, lightly touching deeper down in a sediment of settled thoughts. For there lies the peace I seek, where all is one and one is all. Harming the other is harming self. Somewhere there my true self dwells, waiting patiently for my discovery, reunion, reemergence, remembrance, being present in original peace, from where we all have come. Cellular memory lies dormant. Soon the chrysalis will crack. Memories flooding forth, uniting me to ancient truth. The truth of my being come to set me free. Purest energy, eternal love, the divine I came here to be.
Beautiful. Where can people access your poems, Jeff?
Actually, right now, they can't. I haven't actually made them accessible, but I'm in the process of talking with somebody who maybe can help me with doing just that.
Good. Well, I trust that will happen. What was difficult about that poem for you? Or you referred to something being difficult. What was that about?
Oh, no, I'm just saying I think ideas that I'm bringing forward, cellular memory lies dormant. I think for a lot of people, I don't know if they really think that we are limitless beings. You know, what I find really, really interesting, and I'm sure you might have gotten a chuckle over this as well, David, when our top scientists recently mapped the human genome, they only actually mapped about 20%, maybe 15% of all the genetic information that was present. And what they called the other genetic information that they never mapped, they called that junk DNA. Now, in the Bible, they talk about the Christ pattern and that there is a coming to awareness of something that has been hidden for a long, long time, and that things will kind of come into play, fall into place, and a new awareness will come forth. So in my poem, I sort of refer to that as cellular memory lies dormant, that this junk DNA is really our God self that has been hidden for so long. And when we start to recognize all of who we are, you know, again, Albert Einstein said he theorized that the average human being only uses 10% of our brain capacity. Can you imagine what's going to happen when we start to realize that we can use 20%, then 30%, then 40%, and we've still got 60% to go? And we feel we're at the pinnacle of civilization. It's laughable.
Mm. Yes. Well, you have talked in your poems about the quality of being present. And I'd like to spend just a couple minutes on talking about the importance of being present to the moment. And then if you'd be so kind to pray us out, we have about 5 minutes remaining.
So presence, has been embraced by the scientific community recently in a Buddhist perspective, which is known as mindfulness. And that really entails just being very focused aware of one's breath, one's heartbeat, whatever's happening in the present moment. And there are people like Eckhart Tolle who talk about the power of now, not being dwelling in the past, not dwelling in what's going to happen in the next minute or two, but only being focused on this now moment. And then there are some people like Baba Ram Das, whose teacher spoke about this same concept of be here now. And he said there is only now. And the now moment is the only place in our lives where change will ever take place. It cannot take place in the future. It cannot take place in the past. It can only take place in the present moment. So respecting the present moment is infinitely important for each one of us to stop thinking, oh, what could have been, what should have been, or, oh, someday I'm going to. But seeing this present moment as all the power and all the glory we will ever be is in this moment. So with that being said, praying about the present. Holy and Divine Spirit, which dwells within us now in this present moment, thank you for this day. Thank you for the breath I breathe right now and for all the listeners who are listening to this transmission. Thank you for the one heart which connects us all. And thank you for each breath, because it is the only breath we will ever have. And we thank you for this awareness of ourselves, even though we are connected to all, every heart that's beating on this planet, we are feeling in this present moment. Whether we are aware and conscious of it or not, we are in tune with it. And perhaps our own heart is beating because of it. And so this is a prayer of gratitude. This is a prayer of thanksgiving. This is a prayer of blessing for this moment, for this moment, for this moment. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for sharing your poetry, for sharing your thoughts, beliefs, your inner knowing, which I believe the most significant of all, to be aligned with one's inner self brings forth a form of knowingness that supersedes belief. That's my humble opinion. And with that said, we've run out of time, so thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, David, and thank you for the opportunity and for the graciousness with which you offer to help people have a new awareness.
You're welcome. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks to find common ground and take it to the next level here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.